Welcome to the NBA Panel with your host, John Witherspoon. The NBA Panel covers the league to keep you up to date with NBA news, movements, and stats. Join us as we discuss the sport that we love, the NBA. And now, here's your host, John Witherspoon.
Yes, welcome to episode 111 of the NBA Panel. I'm your host, John Witherspoon. With the panel members, people dealing with all things NBA. The NBA standings are starting to shake out. The West is the West, of course. We have the top nine seeds only separated by like 2.5 games, which is ridiculous. And today we're going to be joined by NBA newsbreaker Brandon Scoop B. Robinson. What's going on, Brandon?
What's going on, man? Good to talk to you, and happy Saturday.
You too. I said, man, this NBA season is shaking up. I mean, it's a lot of teams that's not performing that we all thought they would, like the Celtics. How the Celtics, they're like in the thick of the East right now because they're implementing all those players back. They have Gordon coming back. They have Kyrie coming back. Trying to implement that with Tatum and Brown. But I know Brad Stevens is going to get that together.
Yeah, I think the Celtics will, man. I think it's still very early. When you look at the NBA standings right now, many people thought the Western Conference was just going to jump out the building. And I think in the Western Conference, you're seeing teams that you didn't think would kind of propel. You look at the Clippers, who are sitting at 15-6 in first place in the NBA's Western Conference, and then the Nuggets, who I said early in the season would be a top five team,
are
doing what they need to do. But then, you look at the NBA's Eastern Conference, and you got the Bucks and the Raptors sitting in the top two spots, with the Raptors 19-4 and the Bucks 15-6. But you look at just some of the other teams that are ahead of the Boston Celtics and the Pistons and the Pacers, and the first almost a little bit over 20 games in the season. I think that teams that you never thought would be there are there, including the Charlotte Hornets beyond the playoffs. Kemba Walker, who has been playing phenomenal.
Great. Oh, yes, yes.
This NBA All-Star game is in Charlotte because it looks like his name is on there as a potential starting point guard in Charlotte.
Yeah, like you said, the East is really some of the teams, like you said, don't expect to be where they are. Like the Sixers, Joel Embiid has been balling out lately. He's been putting on monster double-doubles. They're one of the teams that people think were to come out of the East. But like I said, the Raptors are there, and Kawhi Leonard's on a mission. So we're going to see how this shakes out soon.
For sure, my man.
So, Brandon, can you get us caught up in your career, how you got to this point?
Well, if you guys are listening, I am Brandon Scoopy Robinson. Make sure to follow me on Twitter at Scoop B, Instagram Scoop_B. Snapchat too, Scoop_B. Subscribe to the Scoopy Radio Podcast. Look, this year alone, Scoopy Radio has 2.5 million streams, which is available at scoopyradio.com, as well as Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, TuneIn, Stitcher app. And, Scoopy Radio has been groundbreaking in having top guests, anywhere from the voice of Siri, DJ Khaled, Mark Cuban, and more. But, my foundations in journalism kind of started as a 12-year-old kid. I had a radio show with the Nets when I was 12. And it was called Net Slamming Planet, hosted with Albert King, Evan Roberts, and Roberts, who was a personality in New York on WFAN, Sports Radio 66, WFAN in New York. We both co-hosted the show as kids and kind of propelled from there. Net Slamming Planet was featured on NBA Inside Stuff, Lamar Rashad, and more. So it's kind of cool listening to the intro to your show here, the NBA and NBC theme. I remember as a kid being in the locker room when Stephen A. Smith was at the Inquirer covering, Allen Iverson, Jim Jackson,
right,
those other guys. And I remember when Chris Broussard, was covering the Nets and the Knicks in the New York Times. I saw that as a kid. So to see their progression, as I'm growing myself, it's been great. In between there, the high school with the college, and I've had stops at The Source Magazine, CBS Sports, and Spec Magazine, and a multitude of other places. But, currently Scoopy Radio, it's the bread and butter, as well as I'm a senior writer, Basketball Society Online, and a contributor to Heavy.com. So, definitely been moving and grooving, and 2018 has been kind to me as it has been to you.
Definitely. Yeah, and you're known for breaking some big stories. Can you remember the biggest story you've broken thus far? Because I know you got more in the works.
biggest story. honestly, I mean, if you talk about 2018, had the story about Markelle Fultz and the motorcycle. Had that. In addition to that, I did report that LeBron James was supposed to use a trailer for Space Jam to announce his Lakers decision. That kind of got moved because I broke it and it was insider knowledge. And I know that to be true because a couple days, well, actually a month after, somebody that I know told me that they spoke to LeBron James, his business partner, and they told him that they were friends with me. They said, I got to watch you. You know him, he's telling all our business. So 2018 has been a good year. But then, I mean, it's aside from that good conversation, like, I remember a time when I was at CBS, an NBA player, former Sixer, told me the story about how Michael Jordan scored 48 points at Jerry Stackhouse while singing Anita Baker's Giving You the Best That I Got.
That's crazy.
And, I mean, it made its rounds. Jermell and Michael Smith talked about it when they were on His and Hers on ESPN. It was on Sports Nation. Hit a couple blogs, Complex and a myriad of other places. So, I mean, as much as breaking news is, you know, what everybody wants, I like the long form. I like the home-cooked meal. Everything doesn't have to be fast food all the time.
Right.
Stories like that, stories of how, Sonny Vaccaro told me about the time that, if those who are listening, Sonny Vaccaro is the longtime Nike executive. He told me a story about how he called Michael Jordan delusional. And they tell me Michael Jordan in a sentence, and people are talking critical crazy. So that went crazy. And then, I had former Lakers Samaki Walker tell me about the time that Kobe Bryant sucker punched him over $100 that he owed him. And, Phil Jackson and Shaq had to kind of, Shaq's bodyguard had to kind of play middleman and stop the whole situation. Uncle Jerome was Shaq's bodyguard. And a lot of stories that people, here in the 90s or the 2000s or want to know, I've been able to get that out of certain players, not forcing it, but they want to tell that story.
Yeah, that's what being in media is about, and get the story, you put it out there. And we've been connected essentially through the Big Three, because we connected through the Big Three, because the NBA panel covered the Big Threes on a conference call, and that's how you came across the NBA panel. That's crazy. It's a small world, man.
Hey, man, you being modest. Tell that story for those who don't know.
Okay, the NBA panel covered the Big Three conference call this past season, and I was able to ask Ice Cube about Kobe Bryant coming over to the Big Three, and he answered. And a few seconds later, all I noticed is Kobe Bryant maybe coming to the Big Three. It was all over. It just broke everywhere. But yet, I didn't get credit for the question I answered. It's on the Big Three transcript, though. But it just flew from there. Then Brandon picked it up and ran with it.
Listen, man, I was Ricky Waters and Deion Sanders in one. I was going. But I want to give credit where credit is due. Thanks for throwing me the alley-oop. Jeff Quantin, the co-founder of the Big Three, answered it and said a source told him that Kobe Bryant was joining the Big Three next season. And people thought I was lying. They called me fake news. But, the power of Twitter, man. Twitter is a dangerous thing if you know how to use it right.
Yes, it is. NBA Twitter is not a joke at all.
No.
Yeah, the Big Three is growing, and hopefully, they're going to get more players there this year anyway. But the first 2 years of this league has been very successful, and NBA panel has been able to cover it since its beginning. Covered it when it came to Philadelphia the first time. And like I said, we covered it the championship game in New York and Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
Any words of any players you think maybe coming out that we don't know of yet?
No, I don't know of anything currently. I mean, the biggest splash so far the Big Three has made in the offseason is definitely Lamar Odom.
Yes, definitely.
We'll be playing, and I think that's a redemption story, if anything, for the one-time LA Lakers champion. But, you look at the Big Three right now, and I think that out of the next couple years, it's going to be interesting to see what they do. Will they continue, particularly because, you look at the Olympics, and 3-on-3 basketball is going to be standard now.
Yeah.
So it's like, they were cutting edge and doing that process. But, the Big Three is great. But there's some other underlying things, on the business side that I hope that they rectify. So, you know, I hope that it continues. I hope that Ice Cube and Jeff Quantas are successful. But I also do think that they have something bigger up their sleeve for their individual brands. And, you know, Ice Cube is, you know, everybody, everything is 90s nostalgia right now. So Ice Cube is able to rap, able to have LL Cool J as his Jack Nicholson of the Big Three, if you will. And at the same time, you know, I'm sure Jeff Quadrant and Amy Trask had some other endeavors that they really wanted to branch out on as well.
Yeah, speaking of Amy is very outspoken. Very outspoken.
Sure.
Very, very. Sure. One move that
I like Amy a lot.
Yeah, I do too. It was President Carpenter when I was over there at the home game. One move I wanted to talk to you about that LeBron's move to LA was very calculated. It was also a lot of people could see it's coming, but it was just when it happened, it broke the internet like crazy. I mean, he made this move potentially it was a long term move. He signed his first basically long term contract in years. He signed up for the long haul with a 4-year contract, which essentially take him into when his son comes into the league within 4 to 5 years, hopefully, in the way he's growing, that looks like a big possibility for it to happen.
For sure, man. LeBron's moves, signed a 4-year deal, 3 years. There's an opt-out after the third year. You look at that situation with LeBron and what he's been able to do, taking these shorter-term deals rather than long-term deals, I think it's smart. I think the move to L.A. was a combination of both basketball as well as, you know, the movie side. So you see all these movies coming out. He's had a whole rollout. I mentioned the Space Jam situation. You know, he's had other intellectual property that he'll be funneling through. And, you know, he's able to use, you know, the state of California tax credit for people making movies instead of people making movies in New York, people making movies in Georgia, making movies other places. He can use the state of California and the world as his oyster, so to speak. But I think, you know, when you look at that situation there, it's great. You also look at the fact that his son has the opportunity to mix and mingle with some of the other ball players' kids. Scottie Pippen's son plays basketball out there. You got Kenyon Martin Jr. who plays basketball out there.
Right.
And, you know, even the relationship with, you know, Shaq's son, Sharif. Oldest son Sharif, who's now UCLA.
Right.
You know, all of those different schools are there. And I believe Shaq Sun chose the Crossroads School, Crossroads High School. Some big names have come out of the Crossroads High School. On the journalistic side, Jay Adande is an alum of Crossroads High School. Then you have Baron Davis, who's an alum of Crossroads High School. Shaq Sun Sharif is an alum of Crossroads High School. So you have that. But, you know, you have Calabasas and you have the city of Los Angeles as the world is your oyster. And he's in a good situation, not just for basketball, but for networking. And, you know, they're all from Northeast Ohio, but they're blending and mixing in well with that whole L.A. market. L.A. is the wave and California at large is the wave. You also have the Golden State Warriors with Kevin Durant and Steph Curry, a 30-minute play, private plane right away from Los Angeles, and, you know, comparatively, but as it relates to the city of Los Angeles, I definitely think that LeBron's sons and daughter and wife have networked well.
Right.
It's been definitely a blend of basketball, business moves, and strategy. So and they're looking to bring Los Angeles a championship. So it'll be interesting to see what happens over the next few years.
Yeah.
To answer your question about LeBron partnering with his son, I mean, I've heard rumblings. I've not said this to you, but, you know, 3 years, or I've not said this publicly, but I've heard, you know, 3 years in Los Angeles, 3 to 4 years in Los Angeles. How great of a storybook ending would it be for LeBron to return back to Cleveland and give it one more try? And, you know, potentially some way, find a way that to play with his son. It would be very Billy Ripken-like, very Ken Griffey Jr.-like. And I say Billy Ripken as well as Billy Ripken, Cal Ripken, and Cal Ripken Sr. Very Ken Griffey and Ken Griffey Jr.-like. You know, it would be great for basketball. You don't see stuff like that in the NBA.
Yeah, you're right. And the way the Cavs are right now, they'll be set up to get LeBron's son with a top four pick in 3 to 4 years because they're one man left. That's the greatest of LeBron. MVP discussion, he hasn't won in 5 years. But you talk about most valuable player, look at what this man does. One, he left a team, he took that team they had, he took to the finals last year. The same team. He left, now they're like 4-15. It's crazy. It's crazy, man.
Mm-hmm.
And LeBron is, like you said, he's very business minded. Since his lifetime deal in 2015, with Nike up until his early investment with Beats headphones in 2008. So he's very business minded. He's a very smart and talented man. It's crazy, man.
Yep, I'm with you on that, brother.
And over the MVP race is heating up also. Current leaders, this can go in any order. We have Giannis. Giannis is balling over there. We have Harden, Kevin Durant. We just spoke of LeBron, Joel Embiid. I think LeBron's best chance to win MVP this year would be if he takes the Lakers to the playoffs, which I believe they want to do. It's going to be a dogfight. He's not in the East, so every game you can't take off. Because, you know, in the West, half a game can cost you an A spot. We saw that last year with the Denver Nuggets. They missed the playoffs by one game because they took a couple games off early in the season. But LeBron hasn't won the MVP in 5 years. Lakers have not been to the playoffs in 5 years. So I think that might be enough to push him through. If he take them and they get like a second seed, not second seed, if they get the second round, I'm sorry. They can make the second round, I think that'll solidify him making the MVP race. What's your take on?
Yeah, I think it'll definitely be a situation LeBron is an MVP candidate. I've also gone on record and said, you know, Giannis Antetokounmpo of the Milwaukee Bucks is also another MVP candidate. I think that both he and the Bucks realized their worth last season. And although they didn't make it to the tough finals, they made some noise. And I think, you know, obviously Mike Budenholzer inheriting a team that has the Greek Freak and others on this team as well, John Henson, Matthew Dellavedova, and Chris Middleton, and guys of that stature. I do think that they also signed Brook Lopez in the offseason. I thought that was a steal for them. And I think that when you look at LeBron James, guy that came to L.A., a little bit over 20 games, has had to fill the situation out, grow, adapt, bring his family, all of those things. You look at that situation in Los Angeles, he's definitely MVP candidate. I did think at one point that Kyrie Irving would be in that conversation. It's still very early, but
right.
When you talk about impact on a team, man, LeBron and Giannis Antetokounmpo are surely there.
Yes, they are.
And Kemba Walker. Kemba Walker's there still.
Yeah, he's on the Hornets. They don't really get that much recognition, which they should, though. They should. But one player, Harden, I don't think Harden's going to be like a serious contender this year for the MVP, because as a team, the Rockets, they got rid of Carmelo Anthony, and they're still losing. Like, I don't think Carmelo was a problem. He was an issue because of the way his game is. He's like a ball stopper. But he still can get you, I believe, a good 12 and the way I love when Carmelo gets a rebound. We all know what he does when he when he grabs a rebound and when he yells and everything. I think he's still good for good, maybe not even 12, good 15 and 8 a game. But I mean, I think he's still good for good, a couple clutch buckets. But I think the problem with the Rockets, I believe, is more than like internal, because they still have high priced Harden and CP3. They're the highest paid players on the roster, the team, and they're top heavy. So when those players go down, you're going to struggle. And Harden's been hurt lately. I'm sorry, I mean, CP3's been hurt lately with a hamstring. He came back last night, played a few minutes, but he's still going to be on minutes restriction for a couple next games. But I think the problem wasn't Carmelo.
I think the problem was that somebody had to be a fall guy. And Carmelo fit that narrative. That doesn't mean that it was him. I think when you look at the situation with the Houston Rockets, it kind of went back to the decisions that they made in the offseason. You know, you let Trevor Ariza walk. Bob Moutet, you know, was out. You had Ryan Anderson traded. It's a lot of different things and a lot of different scenarios. And he was the fall guy. In addition to that, there was a fight at the beginning of the season with the Lakers.
I think we just lost contact with Brandon. We're getting right back in a second. Yeah, he was talking about the Rockets there. I don't think Carmelo Anthony wasn't a problem, like he said. Right now, they're 10 and 11 and 12th in the West. And, I mean, like I said, Carmelo can still score the ball at will. Another player on the MVP race is Kevin Durant. Right now, he has the oh, I think Brandon's back with us.
Hey. Sorry about that. We were talking about Carmelo. I think he was the fall guy. And I think at the end of the day, he took the heat for it. And, you know, people that I've spoken with have said that the Sixers have some interest. But I think that also another team that you should want to pay attention to is surely the Portland Trail Blazers, a team that could use his services, particularly because, you know, they over the last week, week and a half, they've gone from, about a one seed to maybe an eight seed or seven seed.
Yeah.
They could use his veteran leadership scoring. Hey, Nike is in Portland as well. So there's opportunities there for him to shine.
Yeah, right now Portland is the seventh seed.
Right.
So one player that's going to get a lot of talk, he's been going off lately, Kevin Durant. Oh, my God. Yo, that game he just played against Toronto, that those clutch threes he hit reminded me of the last two NBA finals. We hit those clutch threes to basically seal the NBA championship for the Warriors. He's arguably the second best player on the planet. Like, we talk about Kevin Durant a lot on this show because we talk about the Warriors. But I believe Kevin Durant's going to get serious consideration, but I don't think he's going to win it because of the players he have around him. I mean, we all know they went out and got DeMarcus Cousins. That's going to add to the roster they have. He's essentially surrounded by one of the greatest backcourts in NBA history with Steph Curry and Klay Thompson, who can drop 50 points any game apiece, which is ridiculous. They have three players that can get you 50 points a game, which is ridiculous. Any game, one of those three can go off, which is ridiculous. And they're the first team with three players to give you 50 points a game six. I believe it was the 61-62 Lakers. That's how deep this team is. It's ridiculous. And DeMarcus Cousins' comeback is even. He's 80% of the player that he was. I don't see how. I said before, this team could run the table if they wanted to, once they get fully healthy again. I mean, Draymond Green has had an injury with his toe. He's been out a few games. That's also helped caused the team to go 5-11 over the last 11 games, 5-6 over the last 11 games. So, I mean, but once they get full healthy and full strength, this team is going to be an issue as everyone predicted them to be.
Yeah, I think that the Warriors are in a situation where, you know, first 20 games of the season have been up and down. You dealt with Steph Curry being hurt, arguments between Draymond and Kevin Durant in the locker room. But here's the thing, they're still the champs. And winners know how to figure things out. So I still think that there's a lot of basketball left to be played. And I think they'll figure it out. You know, I think they will figure it out this season. And we'll see what happens as the season goes along. But it starts tonight with Steph Curry coming back. And then, you know, you got to look at the health of Draymond Green, his big toe, you know, was an issue. And I think, you know, moving forward, I think they'll find a way to figure it out. And I think that you know, but I also do think that the NBA's Western Conference is different. I think that the Houston Rockets exposed the Warriors in certain ways. People figured out how to play them. If you have a strong defensive team, I think you have a chance to go toe-to-toe with the Golden State Warriors.
Yeah, they did expose them last year. They were a CP3 injury away, essentially, from upsetting them and going to the NBA Finals, which was ridiculous. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And they have one player, Steph Curry is like the. They have a whole starting lineup of all stars, but one player, Steph Curry, is the most important player because without him, like a totally different team. They have Klay, they have Kevin Durant. I mean, he can lead the team. It's like they're just totally different without Steph Curry. Like Steph Curry is the engine behind all these other players because he exposes the defense. He exposes the defense so much and puts so much pressure on the defense at the same time. Because you can't game plan for all those players, which is ridiculous. And Kevin Durant, he just gets any shot that he wants, and that's been done over the last few years, been shown by him, which is ridiculous.
Yeah, Kevin Durant definitely. You saw him showcase that ability to create his own shot, get any shot he wants in Thursday's matchup with the Toronto Raptors. 50 plus points. He and Kawhi Leonard went toe to toe, but you know. Kawhi and the Raptors got the win, man. And I think that when you look at that situation with Toronto and Golden State, don't be surprised if that's a potential preview for an NBA Finals matchup come June. You know, as much as early in the season, Toronto has been playing well. Many people have said Toronto had the advantage of LeBron James being gone from the NBA's Eastern Conference. I mean, those guys are legitimately tough. You know, Serge Ibaka can find a way to channel his old Serge Ibaka in Oklahoma City defensively, and not take so many fall-away threes. I mean, even if you're able to find that balance, I mean, Dirk Nowitzki found that balance in 2006 where he was able to play an inside-outside game more on the offensive end than the defensive end. But if Serge Ibaka finds a way to cover your best three, four, or five, still get you some points in the paint, and still get you a couple fall-away threes as well, they're in good position. You know, you know what you get out of Jonas Valanciunas. You know what you get out of, I think, one of the best additions to the Toronto Raptors was adding Danny Green in that trade for Kawhi Leonard. But when you look at that situation, that game with Golden State and Toronto, imagine if Golden State had Draymond. Imagine if Golden State had Steph.
Yeah.
It would have been more of a competitive matchup. That being said, I also do think that Golden State, the fact that they were able to go toe-to-toe with the Toronto Raptors team last night and Kevin Durant showed you what he was about, it reminds me so much of last year when Steph Curry was out. You have these series in parts of the season where Steph is out and you see KD become a leader of that team in a scoring way and vocal way. But you also see Draymond out. But you've also seen Klay Thompson assert himself a lot. And then you've seen other guys on that roster step it up. You know what Sean Livingston brings to the table.
Right.
You know what some of those other guys bring to the table. But I really, really, really was impressed with how Kevin Durant handled that situation. And you also have DeMarcus Cousins who's out. That'll be interesting. And I also was impressed with how Andre Iguodala led that offense Thursday night. Jonas Jerebko, you saw him hit some key shots throughout that game on Thursday night. So now I definitely think that you're seeing role guys finding their roles early in the season.
Right.
The Warriors are still a champ, and to be the champ, you got to beat the champ.
Yeah, and again, they're getting, also adding to the record, they're getting everyone's best shot every night. Everyone wants to try and beat this juggernaut. But yeah, Marcus Cousins comes back healthy. Oh, they're going to be a problem, man. Career 21-point scorer. We all know how dominant DeMarcus Cousins could be. He plays bully ball. I mean, he just backs his way down. And as Shaq says, there's barbecue chicken down there. And he adds element that Golden State hasn't had in the past. They haven't had really a dominant player. I mean, they've won with Looney. They won with JaVale McGee. Essentially, they're about to upgrade to another all-star at the center position, which is ridiculous. Like, so you can't double-team DeMarcus Cousins because we all know who he has around him. This team's going to be something special when he gets back. Something special.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
And the Cavs, they traded Kyle Korver over the last couple of days, and he checked into the game last night and went straight to work. Like, he doesn't take a night off. The Cavs.
Mic check 1-2-1-2.
Yes, sir. The Cavs, I think they're trying to get Zion. I think that he's on their radar right now. But, I mean, they have a couple players they can pick from Duke. I mean, Coach K over there, Coach K has an essential. He has three players that can go in the top five, Zion, Cam Reddish, and R.J. Barrett. Any one of those players can go 1-2-3 depending on who gets 1-2-3. That won't be decided until this upcoming offseason. But I think Zion is on the Cavs' radar. What's your take on that?
Well, as much as the Cavs are looked at to be the first seed, some NBA mock drafts had the Phoenix Suns as the first pick, or having the first pick in the 2019 NBA draft, and project Zion Williamson going to Phoenix. So, and then R.J. Barrett going second to Cleveland, and the Hawks with the third pick with Kevin Reddish. So we have to keep paying attention to that. You know, I think Zion Williamson is, and I think Cleveland is looking for something to cheer for, particularly because, you know, Zion Williamson is 6'6", 280, as a tank, freshman, power forward position, but, you know, can obviously play 2-3-4 if they want to go small, maybe 5, but mostly 3-4.
Right.
I think that Zion Williamson has impressed early in the season. The thing is, you know, we were seeing Zion Williamson do his thing since high school, you know, and I think that many people are just starting to really pay attention to his prowess and what he can do. But, yeah, man, I think Zion Williamson coming to Cleveland would be something to cheer about for sure. I mean, bro, there were people making making NBA 2K simulation videos with Zion Williamson playing for Cleveland. I mean, that's how bad Cleveland wants him. But I definitely like his game. I definitely like the product that Coach K Duke University has on the floor. We'll see what they do in the tournament. But definitely a special talent in Zion Williamson. Still early in the season. Still early in the NCAA bracket or NCAA season as well. But, yeah, man, Duke is a special team this year with those guys they have on the team.
Yeah, a lot of people felt some kind of way that they lost to Gonzaga, but they gotta remember, these are 18, 19-year-old kids. Like, we have grown men beating up these kids on the internet and, like, calling them names. They're still learning and growing. A lot of people forget that these are just kids in the NCAA, especially come tournament time. They gotta remember that these are just kids. Just kids. Because March Madness gets crazy. A team loses, they just... Sure. It's crazy.
For sure. Crazy. Love college basketball in March, man. I'm looking forward to the new year. And, you know, the NBA All-Star Weekend coming up soon. You got the Spanish coming up following that. You know, you got the tournament coming up March, April. And a lot of things to be cheering for going into the springtime, man. And this is, you know, the winter time going into Christmas. Thanksgiving, Christmas is definitely the setup for that.
Definitely, definitely. One thing I wanted to ask you, you think you're going to make an appearance at this year's upcoming NBA Hall of Fame induction?
I thought about it, actually. I know that's your lane, man. You asked Tracy McGrady a question about J.R. Smith, and you got the internet buzzing. Shout-outs and kudos to you. Man, I've never been to the Hall of Fame. Springfield is where it's at, Peach Basket Road, man. But I definitely want to come through just because of the basketball fan I am, as well as the person who covers it. I was a fan first as a kid, and you know, and had the relationships, and you know, transferred over to something I love, my career. So it's definitely something I'll consider, because I think that now you're seeing your childhood being inducted into these Hall of Fame situations. So you know, you this year you saw Grant Hill, you saw Jason Kidd, and you know, 2016 you saw Allen Iverson and Shaq. So it's like, man, like those guys that you grew up watching, they're going in the hall. So that means you and I are getting younger and they're getting older.
Right. Yeah, I'm going to ask, because this year, this is going to be one of the biggest classes ever. And since you have Kobe Bryant, Kevin Garnett, and Tim Duncan going in at the same time, this upcoming class is going to be crazy. I cannot wait. I can't wait for this one. This is going to be so packed. It's going to be crazy.
It's going to be special.
Definitely. And one coach that was able to, Coach Tim Duncan, Greg Popovich, spoke on today's game of basketball. He said it's not any fun anymore because a lot of people shooting threes. It's getting boring. I mean, the players that he's brought up with him, with Tim Duncan, the Admiral, they play basically inside out. I mean, today's game, we have, like, Kevin Durant, a positionless player, come down court, shoot a three. We have DeMarcus Cousins shooting threes when he was healthy. The game has evolved. I like the game. I mean, the game has sped up so much more. I love the NBA so much. I like the way it is now because it's not, like, bogged down, and the game's got a lot faster.
Yeah, I mean, Greg Popovich is definitely old school in his thinking, and not a bad thing. You know, you need an old school soldier to regulate people. Sometimes you just don't want to be so old school that you downplay the youth. Last I checked, the youth are still very undefeated. And you know, Greg Popovich is the modern day Phil Jackson, the modern day Red Auerbach. My sister, I use this analogy all the time. My sister's 22. She's her generation, or rather, Greg Popovich is her age, but her generation is Phil Jackson. Just like Phil Jackson was my era's guy, and Red Auerbach was, you know, the generation before us, their guy. So, you know, I look at that situation with what Phil Jackson, or excuse me, with Greg Popovich said. He has the right to speak. He's earned the right to speak. And, you know, I also do think that in the NBA, the Warriors is both a blessing and a curse, because from a stylistic basketball perspective,
right,
you see a lot of kids, you know, you play pickup games now. You know, I still run in the YMCA, and you see a lot of kids, you play with teenagers and 20-year-olds full court basketball, and it's like you're running on the break to play defense, and they're stopping at the three-point line, pulling up for three. It's like, Like, I wasted all this energy to get back on D, and you ain't even trying to get to the basket. You're just trying to shot the three. And, you know, I watched that game last night, Thursday night with Klay Thompson, and it was in a fast break. He just pulled up for three and made it. And I wonder, you know, what Steve Kerr would think if he missed it. He might be mad, but the multiple all-stars, so he may not. But I think that, you know, as much as the Warriors do take a lot of threes, they're also I live with the fact that they play good defense. You know, as much as they pull up for three and most of the time make it, the defense is on point. You know, I still subscribe to the theory that, you know, defense wins championships, offense wins games.
Right.
And I think in a situation with the Warriors, they set a precedent as far as, you know, teams wanting to take a ton of threes. Like, I think now, if you're an NBA team, you're building your team to compete with the Warriors because they mix the defense, they mix the three-point shots. But don't get it twisted. You know, as much as Steph Curry takes a lot of threes, he gets the basket a lot. He draws fouls. A guy that can create herky-jerky, crafty shots, like former San Antonio Spur, Tony Parker. And so when I look at that situation with the comments that Greg Popovich, coach of the San Antonio Spurs, made, I listened to it, but I also just think he's just being a coach. He's frustrated with his team itself right now. You know, they lost Manu, who retired. Tony Parker went elsewhere, and LaMarcus Aldridge is the leader of that team, along with DeMar DeRozan. So, you know, I think Greg Popovich stated how he felt.
Yeah, right now the Spurs are in the bottom of the West, and we're not used to seeing that as they're right above the Suns. I think they'll get it together. I think they're trying to fight for the eighth spot, but I don't know how far they can go in this Western Conference right now. But we'll see. The NBA Rookie of the Year contest is essentially becoming a two-player. I think it's between two people. I think between Doncic and Ayton right now, because Doncic came on the scene with the Dallas Mavericks and just a lot of people said he wasn't ready for NBA ready. But they forget he played in arguably the second best league on the planet. Like, he played against grown men, and he came over here. He's doing the same thing. My pick right now, I think I'm going with Doncic right now for Rookie of the Year. But Ayton is coming along on his own also.
Yeah, but I think Doncic is in a better position because you got a Mavericks team that has beaten the Lakers and the Warriors. And they just get more national attention than, say, the
Suns. Yeah.
You know, the Suns has Devin Booker. They have, you know, Jamal Crawford. They have Trevor Ariza. They have those pieces. But, you know, they have Josh Jackson. But, you know, I think that NBA teams are checking more for Luka Doncic. I mean, they played the Lakers last night and lost. And but, you know, Doncic is still in the conversation. And I think he's in a position where the Mavericks are preparing for post Dirk Nowitzki. And I think he's in a good position to shine.
Yeah, and it's also helping.
So I think early in the season, gentlemen first, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm sorry. You can go ahead.
No, I was going to say just in a position where he's got room to shine and Dirk is coming off the bench. I like Luka Doncic as an NBA Rookie of the Year candidate early on.
Yeah, I was about to say it's helping Doncic also because Dirk is hurt right now, so he's getting a lot more minutes than what people think he's supposed to get. So we'll see. The Washington Wizards are trying to get it together. I mean, right now they're like in the middle of the East, but they're like, I think they have a ceiling. I think their ceiling is like maybe like a 5 or 6 in the East because the East is only getting stronger right now. And right now, I think a trade, I don't know if a trade will really help them right now, but if you break up Wall and Bill, I think you have to essentially get another all-star to go along with what you lose.
I think they're in a situation right now where, you know, a week ago, you've had anything from Dwight Howard controversy to Bradley Bill wanting out controversy to John Wall arguing with Scott Brooks, saying some unflattering things. And I think that every week you see a team having different issues. I think that now with Dwight Howard being out potentially for 2 to 3 months,
right,
they get back to what brought them to the big game. And I think, you know, made the playoffs last season, but yeah, I just think that team is so talented. Just making it to the playoffs is not really impressive to me. You know, I remember talking to Kemba Walker earlier in the season, and he told me that, you know, I just want to make the playoffs. That's it. And he's done more than that. He's been scoring in bunches and then propelling his team to a win. And I look at John Wall, and you'd expect the same thing. I think this season has, early in the season, has been the year of, you know, combo guards who are more blue collar getting their just due. And so you see Damian Lillard playing his tail off. I hit 10 threes in a game the other night. You know, you see Kemba Walker doing his thing, and you were hoping that, or I was hoping at least, John Wall would be in a similar conversation. But I think that they got to get back to certain things that they've been lacking. But, you know, Bradley Beal is a guy that definitely has rose the ranks in the last few years. He doesn't miss shooting wise, and I think that if they can find a way to create a cohesive unit between Otto Porter, John Wall, Bradley Beal, and, you know, when and if John Wall comes back for the season, that'll definitely, I mean, when if Dwight Howard comes back, you know, that's icing on the cake. But I definitely think that looking at Dwight Howard, I thought that he would be a key addition to that team the same way Brook Lopez has been for the Milwaukee Bucks. And, you know, it's been more of a distraction for things off the court than it has been his contribution on the court. And that's unfortunate.
Definitely. And one thing, they do have a good core, though. Like I said, Wall and Beal, either one can give you a good 40 any given night. So they have the firepower offensively. They just have to get it together every other category on the board, around the board. But I think they'll be fine. We all know that the Sixers picked up Jimmy Butler. One player he essentially is going to replace is Markelle Fultz. And some think that Markelle Fultz isn't playing for the Sixers anymore, because now he has a wrist issue to go with his shoulder issue that he had, that you alluded to earlier. But a lot of people think it's a mental thing with him and not just physical, because ever since he came into the league, it's been like continuous controversy for him. But I think, I mean, he has so much flashes from when he played University of Washington. I think he can get together with a fresh start. I mean, the reports came out he wanted a fresh start, and then they were refuted, and no one said that he told Elton Brand or anything. But I'm not sure if he's going to play for the Sixers anymore. What's your take on that part of Markelle Fultz?
I think that Markelle Fultz, you got to figure out what's wrong with him, and I think it starts with seeing specialists. Multiple reports came out yesterday that he will see some more specialists in that next week. I think once those things come into play, I think then you'll be able to get a gauge of what's next. You know, there were rumors over the weekend that the Sixers and the Cleveland Cavaliers were in discussions about potentially shipping J.R. Smith and Kyle Korver to the Sixers in exchange for Markelle Fultz and maybe some other packages. And
right,
obviously, Korver now a member of the Utah Jazz. J.R. Smith wants out of Cleveland, so, you know, Philadelphia would be a good place for him. If they find the pieces, we'll see. But the Phoenix Suns is a popular theory, at least to the internet standards, that that's where Markelle Fultz will go. And if a move to Phoenix were to happen, I mean, he'd be able to build around a young team. It seems that Philly and the Suns have found ways to make trades in the past. I didn't like the trade in the draft on draft day that brought Zaire Smith to the Philadelphia 76ers. It proved to be unfruitful. But I do think that Markelle Fultz, at least from judging him from college, has something to offer. Jamal Crawford on the Scoopy Radio podcast over the summer, he talked about how, you know, he as well as as well as Markelle Fultz and Zach LaVine worked out over the summer. And you know, I talked to Zach LaVine a couple months ago. He said that he felt that Markelle Fultz was ready this season. And it just seems that there's been some setbacks and with his shooting touch, and with the free throw line, shooting pump fake free throws. I've never seen anything like it. But, you know, that's his thing. That's his thing. But really and truly, Jimmy Butler coming to Philadelphia does take a lot of minutes for Markelle. And kind of takes the focus away from Markelle, but I feel like Jimmy Butler is a multiple All-Star and has something to prove. I think as much as people put so much credence on Markelle Fultz, the fact remains that Philadelphia upgraded, and I don't think they get that much credit, that much attention, because I think people want to pay so much other attention to what's going on with Markelle Fultz. Like, the Sixers really improved. You got a Joel Embiid who, you know, is in the conversation for MVP, although I don't think that's going to happen just because there's LeBron and his
right.
Giannis Antetokounmpo. But you know, at the same time, you know, Ben Simmons. See, I saw it on your Instagram page that through the legs, assists from Ben Simmons to Joel Embiid from the 3-point line. What a time to be alive when a 6'10 point guard is passing to a 6'11 center.
I know. It's crazy, man.
Like, we pay so much attention to Markelle Fultz that you don't get to see the amazingness that is the Sixers this season. Man, they're really a fun team to watch.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are. Trust the process. The process is starting to pay off now. They got to give a shout out to Sam Hinkie because he set this up for right now. He created this future. So.
Yeah, Sam Hinkie created that future, and Brian Colangelo brought you Markelle Fultz. How about those apples?
Crazy, crazy. Shout out to the Sixers. Brandon, thank you so much for joining me today, man. I love this interview. Thank you so much for giving me part of your time. You are connected into the league. That, I'm sure there's nothing short of the hard work you've put in over the years. You are connected, man. You are connected, bro.
Thank you, brother. I love the fact that not only can I talk about the league, I could be myself. And I think that's a lost art these days where everybody's trying to be somebody else, you know. But I definitely think that, you know, there are people who paved the way for me. You know, you talked about Chris Broussard. You know, as a kid, I remember when I was in college, he took me to the ESPN campus when he was there. You know, and I got a tour of the campus. And, you know, people like Stuart Scott, who took time with me early on. I remember when I was finished undergrad, ran into him at VH1. And, you know, he and I just talked about my future and my plans and what I needed to do. And, you know, Stephen A. Smith, here and there, seeing him at different events. And even as a child, seeing him at, it was over time, you know, connecting with
right.
people who, you know, even Peter Vassy, guy that's NBA and NBC legendary status, you know, taking time with me. And just, yeah, you don't forget those things. And, you know, I think in order to move forward, you got to pay homage to those who did it before you. So I'm thankful to be in the position I'm in and glad to be myself on your show as well.
Glad to have you on. Like we had, Chris Broussard was on the show a while ago. He's trying to get you back on now. A lot of knowledge. That was a good interview with him. A lot of knowledge. Like you said, it's about networking. It's about networking, man. It's about networking.
Yes, sir.
Brandon, I'll definitely reach out to you again. Hopefully we can do this again another time. Thank you so much for your time.
My man, enjoy the rest of your day.
You too. Yes, that was Brandon Scoop B. Robinson, NBA reporter. He is so connected with NBA. Breaking news like every other week. Shout out to Brandon for coming on the show. Thank you so much. That's going to bring us to a close, episode 111 of the NBA panel. Thank you for joining me. Catch you next week.